With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we're welcoming back Christopher Sturm. Hey. Hi, Christopher.
Woo. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me back.
We're so excited to see you and have you back on the show. First and foremost, we want to ask how you're doing in light of the news.
Yeah, complicated. Yep, I got the old cancer diagnosis recently, which was a big shock. So lung cancer in the brain. But funnily enough, today I had my very first treatment, had some radio gamma knife surgery in my brain. So like an hour ago,
I was strapped to a table. Oh my goodness.
Today. Yeah. Wow. And so the funny thing about this is it sounds scary to have like stuff in your brain, but my neurosurgeons were like, oh, we're just going to zap them and you'll be fine. And I'm like, what do you mean you're just going to zap them and you'll be fine?
Yeah.
But apparently there's like 8 tumors in my brain, which sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But they're small and they found them all and they're able to go in with like really precise radiation and shrink them. And they're really confident that they will not be a problem anymore after that, which is...
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Kind of incredible. And I went in, I was there for an hour. They zapped the first session. I just laid there with like a special mask on. Oh, they gave me the mask. Check this out. They made me this custom mask that held my face in place.
Whoa.
And then, I just sit there and it just goes meh, meh, meh. And they do that for an hour and I didn't feel anything. I don't have any side effects. And I have one more session on Thursday and then my brain stuff will be essentially done. Mm. And then I can move on to the other treatment for the rest, which is non-small cell lung cancer, which is good because small cell is very aggressive. So I have a lot of options for treatment, which is good. I don't know if you can hear it, but the medications that I'm on right now are making my voice kind of hoarse.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something I'm kind of getting used to. But it's very scary, but I have a really cool medical team. They're really on top of it. My prognosis, because I'm young and because I'm young to have this specific disease, seems to be pretty good. Because of the options I have for treatment, I'm actually going to be moving back to California, back to Los Angeles to get treatment, most likely at UCLA, which is really great because they have a fantastic lung cancer team. And because of the really good care that I'm getting here, they're kind of setting me up for that. So it's scary. It's weird. It's a crazy life-changing thing, but I'm really optimistic that I'm going to come out of this, you know, pretty good. So,
well, you know that we as well as the rest of the film community is rooting for you.
Yeah, dude, right off the bat, I didn't realize how much of a response my first video would have in the film community and in the community, you know, at large. But like the way that the film and photography community showed up for me immediately with no questions was insane. Like, it's been 3-4 weeks. I still can't wrap my head around just the insane response. Yeah. And with no questions, people came out of the woodwork and were just like, you know, not even just donating, just like sharing my GoFundMe, talking to me, offering like, you know, any kind of support. It was just like instantaneous and complete. And I don't really know how to deal with it because when you get that kind of level of love and support from so many places, it doesn't feel deserved in a way.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just incredible. And there's just kind of no doubt to me that like this community specifically is incredibly special.
Yes.
And like worth all of the effort and time I've put into it. So it's just, yeah, it's been great.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I was just going to say, I mean, like I said before, we're all rooting for you. And what you said about the film community is like, we take care of our own, it feels like. And I just, that's the most beautiful thing about it. And I just makes me love it all even more. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very heartening. It's just crazy because I feel that every community has like, it's a little bit of drama here and there, or like, you know, little things here and there that are like not always like so pleasant, but there's just not been a time where I have been so like assured of how special and real a community is. And it's just great. It's just so great to know that like all of these people that are involved in this community are just such amazing people. And it's just great. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun watching your GoFundMe too. Like, I would check every once in a while, like, oh man, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no,
we were
texting each other
like,
back and forth, like, just loving it. Look at it now.
Yep. It's like, thank God.
Yeah, man. It's funny because, like, we were watching it, and I put 20K because that's like where it starts just to get the Gamma Knife treatment. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
But seeing it shoot past that, it was just like, holy shit, like, this is happening. And then it's looking back at it and then getting all these bills and stuff, and it's like, oh, I need, like, still like I need like quadruple this
right.
still
so, oh my god,
it's like I'm still trying to raise money because it's just I'll show updates at some point, but like it's so funny, I got a bill for the first night I was in the ER, and I think it was like $30,000 just to be in the ER and that's with no insurance, so
it's, healthcare it's is bonkers, man. Like how I mean, even if you're not living paycheck to paycheck and you have a solid insurance, it's still like my boss that I work with, his wife went through a whole cancer thing because I was you know, talking about you to my boss and stuff after the whole thing and just being like, dude, it's just amazing to see. And he did a GoFundMe for his wife as well, and it you know, knocked it out of the park for that stuff. And it's just amazing that we have, like, that's the new norm for you have a health problem, like, yep, we got to go to the, you know,
and it's sad because like it was, I was working at the time, but I hadn't quite made it to the hours needed to hit the threshold for my work mandated health plan, whatever.
Right.
And so I was like a month out from having the hours, which was like, okay, great. But it was better. It's better for me to be unemployed technically than it is to have a job, because if I had a job, I'd have to qualify. I think it was like $21,000 a year, but then it only covers so much. But then I'm in Wisconsin for some reason. In Wisconsin, it's even worse. I don't know. It's basically I need to go back to California because being here, they just don't care. wow. And so it's just so complicated. My girlfriend and I were like, can I get married so I can get on her insurance, because she works for the hospital I'm being treated at. But in Wisconsin, there's a weird law about medical debt when you're married, and then her insurance wouldn't even really help me all that much. It's just like there's no recourse if you get sick. It's like you're kind of screwed. And so luckily, you know, since I'm not working, I can't work right now because of the brain stuff. When I go back to California, I will qualify for Medi-Cal, which is good. And then UCLA has like a really great program where they subsidize a lot of the treatments, especially for like lung cancer and stuff. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that when I get there, you know, I won't be in crippling medical debt for the rest of my life. Maybe just like most of it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But I'm focused on survival at the moment.
Yeah, that's,
so
that's the most important part. Yeah.
Right. Yep,
and,
right.
you know, it's funny, too, because, you know, Valandis, I saw right after I made my announcement.
I couldn't believe it.
I was like completely unwinding when I saw that. I was like, I can't believe another person in this community is going through this. And his journey is going to be insane because his specific type of cancer, it's just going to be, I feel for him so much. He's going to go through so much. And he's very strong. He seems to be taking it in stride. But it's just like cancer is touching everybody right now. And it's something that I didn't think I'd be wrestling with in my lifetime, just because, you know, my grandfather had cancer when I was a child, but he had colon cancer. He was a heavy drinker, heavy smoker. I was a social smoker when I was young, but I never was really into smoking. I'm not really a drinker. So I thought I was kind of in the clear.
Yeah.
And then like, boom. And then like, I have another friend who has cancer now too. And then there was another person in the community recently who just talked about they had a small brush with cancer. And then William Sheepskin actually reached out to me. He made a video which was the sweetest, kindest thing I've ever seen. He's been a friend to me. He reached out really quickly after I made my announcement. And it's just, yeah, it's just insane how much of the community is affected by cancer right now. And it's and everybody's going through the same thing. It's like, how do I pay for treatment? And I mean, I'm just getting treatment today. It was the week before my birthday was when I got diagnosed. And I'm just starting treatment today, which is the 9th of April. So it takes a long time, which is the scariest part because you're like waiting. But yeah, it's just roadblocks. America, I guess.
Jeez. America.
Yeah.
Well.
But anyway, all that aside, I'm excited because I'm feeling better. Starting the treatment certainly lifted my mood a lot. My doctors are like on top of it, so that makes me feel great. I'll be able to wean myself off of these medications as soon as I'm done with the brain radio surgery, and that will mean that I will not be feeling crazy anymore, and I won't have the hoarse voice, and I'll be able to kind of go back to normal, which will feel nice. And then, onward to California.
Can't wait till you get here because you got some exciting stuff that you're working on. But before we get into that, do you mind just introducing yourself to our listeners who may not have caught the first episode or not up to date on all that stuff we just kind of went into? Give us a background on how you got into photography.
Yeah, so this is my second Analog Talk episode, which is so exciting. Yeah, I had a great time the first time. So my name is Christopher Sturm, as I said. I have a YouTube channel called The Photo Department that I've been doing since April, I guess, of 2017. And it's just, you know, if you know it, you know it. we've been doing, you know, film stuff since then. It's been going pretty well. I've been falling off a little bit the last couple of months, but
it happens. It happens.
Things happen. Yeah. So been doing that for a long time. And I got into photography, you know, when I was a kid in high school, back when I was 14. I think I told you guys this story when I first was on, but I took the class because there wasn't any other elective classes that were available. And the teacher gave us all a roll of Tri-X and was like, go shoot a roll of film and see what happens. We'll process it. And the next week came back, processed it, saw the negatives. And I was like, oh my God, this is my life now. And that's pretty much been my life since then. So so big film guy ever since. And kind of can't stop me. My freezer yesterday, I went back from Costco, tried to put my 10-pound bag of Costco chicken in the fridge, the freezer, and there's no room because there's 4x5 and 120, and it's just like an insane collection of expired films. So I got to do something about that.
Me too.
But yeah.
Me too.
So last year, not last year, sorry, 2021, I moved to Milwaukee with my girlfriend. So she could go to nursing school, and I opened a film lab here in Milwaukee called the Photo Department Lab. There really isn't a lot of opportunities or resources for film photography out here. There's a few, but they're kind of few and far between. So I opened up a lab here downtown where I was doing ECN2, C41, color, black and white, everything. And it went really well for a while. And then I quickly became way too busy. And so I ended up kind of paring it down to really, really small kind of like boutique levels. Like I was just taking a certain amount of clients. And that was cool for a while. And, you know, running a film lab is incredibly rewarding, incredibly fun. And it has been a great community thing here in Milwaukee, but doing it on my own has been really tough. Yeah. And then when I got sick, I kind of closed down because I don't really have the time or the energy to necessarily do it all the time. But speaking of future plans, when I was in Los Angeles last December, actually, the last time I saw you were there, Chris. Yeah. We hung out at Eagle Rock Camera and Goods, which is Jason Lee's new camera store in Los Angeles, which is the coolest place ever of all time.
It's amazing.
So I used to live in that neighborhood and I was there for work. And so I wanted to stop by. I wanted to meet Jason Lee, of course, and see the shop. And we kind of hit it off. I went in and met him and we just were chatting and he was telling me all about his plans. And he was like, yeah, phase two of the shop, we want to open up a film lab in the back because we have these buildings in the back. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's funny. I run a film lab in Milwaukee. And he was like, you do? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, why don't you move back to LA and run my film lab? And I was like,
whoa.
What?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's an idea. That's a thought. He was serious and we started discussing it. And that is the plan. So long story short, the whole plan that Jason had before I even met him was that phase two of the shop would have its own walk-in film lab so that you can come in, drop off your film. Yeah. And, you know, him and Ray, who's his business partner, his friend, they both run the shop. They're both just so passionate about film and about the community. And like talking to both of them, it was just so obvious that we saw so eye to eye on things like he just would talk about the community and like having a space for the community and really talking about what that meant for, you know, photography and for film. And it was just like, wow, am I talking to myself? Like this guy, it's like the same ideas. And so I think we really did connect on the idea of community and quality and kind of being stewards of film. And so just as we talked more, it just made more and more sense that we worked together. So he asked me to help him build out the film lab and then subsequently run it. So right now we're basically just building out the physical space. We planned it out already. And then, you know, we'll be sourcing some machines. We'll be working on the workflow and then we'll be designing the space out. Jason has like a really incredible vision for how he wants the space to be. And I think it's going to be very successful just because his approach to community is so simple and cool. And it's just like, it's just something I want to be a part of. It's like kind of a dream come true. You know, I've been a fan of Jason since I was younger as an actor and as a skateboarder. And then, you know, having seen his photography work over the years and like really been into the work that he's done and, you know, his books and everything, it's just like so cool to be able to work with somebody who doesn't just do it because it's cool. He does it because it's like an impulsive need for him to be involved. Yeah.
I remember the first time I found out he was a photographer, it was a long time ago. It was like before, like right around the time I was thinking about going to photo school. I found like his work was like in a magazine and he had like not a photo magazine. It was just like an article in like a magazine you find at like Rite Aid or CVS back in the day, you know. Okay. and I was like, it was a portrait of Giovanni Ribisi, and it was like shot on film. I think he shot it with like a 4x5 or something. And that's when I was like, oh, like it was a bunch of his work. I'm like, he's a photographer too. Like that's crazy. That's so cool. And like that full circle moment where like we had him on the show, and then I met him in December, and now like you're gonna like work with him at. Crazy. You know, in that capacity, it's like, wow, this is kind of crazy.
It's crazy because when I found out he was a photographer too, I had no real idea because, you know, my first interactions with him were like Clerks,
Mallrats.
Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, my God,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and like he's such a great actor, and I always was really drawn to his acting work because I think he's a hilarious comedic actor. He's a great dramatic actor. And then, you know, as a skateboarder, I always looked up to him because when I was a kid, you know, I was a skateboarder and I thought I was cool. And I looked up to all the cool skateboarders and he was one of them. And and then finding out he was a photographer, I was just like, who is this guy? Like, this guy does everything cool.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And I think the first photos I saw of his, I saw the portrait of his where he's had the My Name is Earl facial hair and he's standing behind a 4x5, like kind of overlooking like the ocean or something. And I was like, that guy shoots 4x5? Like, what? And then I looked at a bunch of his work. I saw his first photo book and I was just kind of blown away. I was like, wow, this guy like legitimately cares about photography and like is good. And then I showed my dad, because my dad is a huge My Name is Earl fan. So I showed my dad some of his work and he was like, this is Earl. Earl can take pictures. And I was like, yeah.
Your dad was on that trip.
Yeah. And it's funny because I didn't know my dad was like a big fan, but he was. And I was like a little bit embarrassed that he was going to be kind of geeking out for Jason. But Jason thought he was great. They got along great. My dad wasn't weird or anything. My dad was, but every time I talked to my dad on the phone, he's like, how's Jason? he asked about my dad too, which is really funny. Yeah, it's just so weird to have that like full circle moment where you're just like aware of this person, aware of their work, and then you meet them and they because some people you meet and you're like, oh, okay, like, yeah, you like that, like, you're an enthusiast or whatever, but like, whatever. Yeah. He really is like dyed in the wool, like very into this stuff. Something that's like important to me if I'm going to be working with somebody that they're like really about it. And I don't think I could claim to be about it as much as he is, because he really is. Him and Ray as well. So I'm incredibly blessed. I can't wait to work with the both of them more, because they're just such sweet, like genuine people. And both of them have been great friends to me through what I've been going through. Like Jason's been calling me like every day, like seeing how I'm doing, checking in, like asking about my progress. Ray as well. They've been like sending me pictures of like listings of houses they found in the area to like help me out, because they know I'm looking for a place. So, so they've been just like such great people to have on my side in this situation. So it just makes me feel so lucky that I get to, you know, do this with them. And I mean, like, for the community in Los Angeles, like especially the community that's going to be around that store and around that area, I'm just like so excited for what resources we're going to be able to provide.
Yeah.
Just for anyone who wants to have any kind of, you know, headway into film. It's just going to be like all bets are off. Like, let's do it, you know? So I'm very excited about it.
What's the timeline for that? When are you guys thinking it's going to be released to the world, opening up?
We are tentatively, we're hoping for December to open the lab. That is, I don't know if that's ambitious or not, because there are a lot of moving parts that go into opening a film lab. But we are very fortunate that Jason has a lot of people that he knows who are great resources as far as like equipment and know-how and like people who want to kind of help out. And then, you know, I have my own connections and resources. And the only real hiccup right now has been my diagnosis. But other than that, it's kind of like a reverse hiccup, because since I want to pursue treatment in a specific way, I'm going to go back to California anyway. That's perfect. It's kind of expediting our pilgrimage back to California in a way. So it's we're looking at hopefully a December opening. It seems like that's kind of on track. Like I said, we're right in the middle of actually building the space out. So once the space has been built out, there'll be like more kind of news about what's to come. I know off the bat, we're looking to do C41 black and white from 110 all the way up to 8x10 scanning and processing. So that's going to be where we focus on at first. We want to make sure we can do like the best quality, quick turnaround, and like, you know, really kind of like extensive services without stretching ourselves too thin too quickly. But we also want to make sure we have, you know, we're going to have, you know, Noritsu scanners. We have a Hasselblad scanner that we're going to be doing for like really high quality stuff, like the FlexTite. And then, you know, we'll have, I don't know if it's going to be the Noritsu V50 nerdy. We'll have a really nice Noritsu C41 scanner. So we'll be cranking out color film like all the time. So, you know, it'll be a full service lab when it does open. I'm hoping that, yeah, December will be where we can really kick the doors open. But that's kind of what we're looking at right now. And it's really exciting, because it's every day we're talking back and forth about our plans, what we want to be doing with the space. And it's just really exciting, because sometimes you have plans and you're like, oh, this is going to be fun if it actually happens. But with Jason, he's just so... It's just like it's happening. And so
we're doing it.
Yeah. It's different, because like when I opened my lab, I didn't have like a lot of resources. So I had to like pull things together like by like my fingernails, like just like, oh, I just got to make this work. But Jason is just like, no, we're going to do it this way. It's going to be done right. We're going to make sure we have this and that. And, you know, he's asking the right questions. He's doing all the work that he needs to do. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I can trust that we're in good hands and we're in a good spot. And it's just really nice to have something work that way for once, if that makes any sense. Yeah,
totally. How has it been sourcing? Film stuff is not easy to find in 2024. Has it been tough, like finding machines and scanners? And, you know, has it been a process with that? Or is it, I mean, I know you said Jason's pretty much on top of stuff like that, or of knowing the right people or what?
Well, it's definitely a process. So, the thing about film stuff, all of it's used for the most part. You have to make sure you get stuff that's going to be able to last. I have to basically become a Noritsu technician so that I can make sure I can keep up with the machines and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But the funny thing is, Noritsu still is around as a company and they still employ technicians. You can have a service contract that's like a couple grand a year and they'll come out and they'll service your machines for you.
Wow.
So like,
I didn't know that.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. So that kind of stuff is still available. So I have contacts in Noritsu that will help us with that. There are third party people in like China who have a lot of these machines that they refurbish and they sell overseas, and they'll get here from like Wuhan in like 5 days. So, so we can like literally source them from overseas if we want. There are local labs who either shut down or are paring down or have extra machines who I'm also in contact with. So it's kind of one of those things where there's an extensive network of people who know these machines or like have these machines. And it's just kind of like, you just got to meet them and like schmooze them and, get in good with them. And so there's a couple people I've met who are like really knowledgeable and really great, who have been really helpful as far as like finding these things. And so it is a process, but it's like a really cool club where there's all these people who have been doing it for years. They have all this knowledge and all this like expertise, and they're like more than happy to share it with you. Mm. And it's, again, another part of the film community that's so cool. Like, they just want this stuff to be accessible, and they want people who are passionate about it. And these people have been doing it for years. They want to pass the torch on it. It's just like, pass that torch, baby. I'm right here. So it's it is challenging because you got to look. But once you get past the looking stage and you meet these people, it's actually really easy to kind of like make those connections. So once we do figure out which direction we're going to go, we'll talk about it and we'll show everybody all the cool stuff we end up with.
Awesome. Yeah. I was just going to say, it's like, his shop is already so amazing as it is. I can't wait for it to be like everything you need, like, buy a camera, buy some film, come back, drop it off, get your scans. Like, you know, like, that's just like what's better than that, basically, really? Like,
nothing.
Especially for people who are just starting, you know, like, come back and I'll show you, like, we're in this together kind of thing. Like, buy a camera, buy some film.
And it's funny because like, it already is, they like intrinsically set it up to be such a cool community space. Like, you come in, there's this big table you can sit at and read like photo books. And like Jason and Ray are both just like, whenever you walk in, they're just like, hey, how's it going? And they're just like talking to you about stuff. And so like, you already get this like sense of like, oh, these people know what they're talking about and they really care.
Yeah.
And the space is so like inviting and you just want to like chill. And then the idea that you can just like come in and then walk through the back door and then boom, there's the lab. Like, oh, hey, come say hi to the guys in the lab and like,
you
know, come drop some film off or come pick up your film the next day. Like, that to me is so appealing, which is why, you know, we're not going to do mail-in at least at first, because we want to make sure that we're servicing the community that's local first.
Great.
And the idea of having just local photographers walk in, hand me their film, and then the next day they come in and I hand them their negatives, and then we can sit at the light table together and look at them and be like, look what you did. You took these pictures. These are good pictures. That's like my dream. And so I'm like, I'm so ecstatic for that to happen.
It's really wild to think about like moments like that, because I haven't had like a moment like that since photography school, where I had somebody like lay them out on a light table and be like, look, you know, and to especially, I mean, we talk about the resurgence all the time on the show, but to see it coming back in such a way, I'm just excited for like all the newbies to be like learning about it, like, you know, and just like experiencing all the magic for the first time and having a place like that. So good.
I mean, just me, I have a big, you know, tracing table, light table thing here at my house. Every single time I put a roll of negatives down to look at it, I get butterflies every time still. And I'm 38, totally. I'm doing it since I was 14. Yeah. And that's one of the big things that I was like very adamant about too, is like, in the space, we need to have somewhere where there's a light table where I can take customers and show them their film and be like, here's your film. Where either I can be like, you know, here's what went wrong, or here's what went really right. Or here's what happens when you do this. And then that kind of education, or just even, not even education, just showing that thing can make such an impact on somebody as far as like what direction they decide to go in, or like their excitement level for what they're doing. Because, you know, you get your negatives back, you take and you look it up at the light, you're like, you know, that's cool. Yep. But like, putting it down with a loop and looking at it, like, that's an experience that you don't really get anywhere else. Because, you know, digital scans are great, but like the physical through a light table, it's just like, it's something completely different. So that'll be happening a lot.
I got all like warm and fuzzy over here. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. So do you think you'll kind of incorporate your channel with that at all?
Oh, yeah.
Like to give a behind the scenes or what do you say?
We maybe love some BTS footage.
So yeah, we talked about it a little bit. One of the things that happened when I got sick is I started to realize that my creative output was really important to me. And I wanted to kind of like reimagine my channel as a very positive kind of interface for people to be even more like inspired or educated in a way into like having action into photography in some way.
Yeah.
And so part of that was thinking like, you know, I would love to like create some content around, you know, the shop and around the lab that is helpful and educational and also just like positive and encouraging in some ways. And Jason's super into it. I was kicking around the idea of like doing a documentary of the building of the space and stuff. I don't know how possible that is right now because I don't know when exactly we'll be moving, but I'm really into the idea of documenting everything now. Like right before this all happened, my girlfriend and I found this at a Goodwill. An old Sony Digital 8 Handycam, and it works and it's so cool. And I've been using this to document just like random shit recently, and it looks so cool because it has this very specific nostalgic look that you don't get from like a phone or like you know, some other kind of video camera.
Even like a Digicam. I have a high A camera, and I love it. I mean, it's cool.
And I thought it would be so hard to get it into my computer, but like you just get this little adapter and you plug it in and boom, it just works. And it's like,
boom,
that's crazy. And so I've been really messing around with that. And like just having that is so inspiring and fun. And so I'm trying to incorporate that into like more. And like this is the same type of camera I had when I was a kid, like filming skate videos. And this is the same kind of camera that a lot of younger kids had when they were doing skating in, you know, doing their first videos. So it fits that aesthetic really well. And so I'm really excited to kind of incorporate that into like what we're doing as well. So there's definitely going to be a lot of production around the shop and the lab when we start going. How much of it is going to happen, I don't know. I'm really, really motivated as of late to start just creating more. And so that's my goal going forward, as much as possible. And like, it sounds like the kind of treatment I'm going to be getting isn't going to destroy me completely. Fingers crossed.
Good.
So hopefully I'll have the energy to like, just go for it because I won't be working as normal, I guess, for the next couple months. So, the channel will definitely be kind of taking a little bit of a turn more towards documentary narrative stuff and a lot less talking head, talking to a, you know, camera about film, because I'm not over it. I'm kind of just like, I'm not, you know, reviewing products. I'm not reviewing films. I'm not, I'm not selling anything. And so a lot of my passion as far as creativity has been more documentary. A lot of my work lately that I haven't really been sharing has been more documentary, more narrative type stuff. And so, yeah, Jason and I have had some conversations about it. So he's excited about me doing that. He's definitely going to be contributing to that as well, because that's just that's what he does. So, yeah, it'll be cool. There'll be a lot of cool stuff coming out, especially towards when we are going to be opening the lab.
That's
exciting.
Can't
wait.
Yeah.
I know. Timothy, you got to come visit. You got to come hang out at the lab.
Yeah, I really do.
I've been trying to get him out here, back out here since like the Paideia.
Yeah.
Is that the
last moving
time?
Back. Yeah. So you have to come.
Yeah, I will.
You need a roommate?
I mean, why not?
You and your girlfriend.
I was going to say, we'll just get a place. We'll just get an extra bedroom. We'll move you right in. It'll be fine.
I'm ready. Let me know.
Okay, great. I'm ready for the weather. The thing about LA is the weather is, because I've been there two or three times since winter in Wisconsin. I can't do it here anymore.
Yeah,
like,
that's
Wisconsin
cold.
Has a lot of good things going for it. Milwaukee is a very cool city. There's like great stuff here, but like the weather is a bummer, and it's six months out of the year at least, and it's just like I can't deal.
How long were you out in California before you moved back?
Well, I'm from California.
Oh, that's right.
Opposite.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you're
ready to go home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is like, I was born and raised in California. Yeah. So like all of my experience has been California weather. So living out here, the last couple of winters, so I've been here since 2021, and the last couple of winters haven't been very harsh compared to how it normally is. So I feel like a baby complaining about it, but still, it's not pleasant if you're a California baby. You know, it's not as fun.
Right.
The snow is beautiful, I will say. It's very nice having a white Christmas. It's very nice having winter. But when it's March, like 25th, and it's snowing.
I know. We got snow in April one year. I was still in Connecticut. It was like in April it was snowing. I was like, what?
Well, that's what we joke about that here in Pennsylvania all the time. It's like, oh, because today it's like 78 degrees outside. And it's like, yeah, well, it's still April. So, you know, next week it'll be snowing and we'll get 3 foot of snow. But
It's like 65 degrees in Milwaukee right now and beautiful outside. But I guarantee you in 2 days it'll be like sleet or snow or something. It's like, whatever. And then the lake, it's funny you think like, you know, Lake Michigan's a lake. It's not going to be as cold as like the ocean. It's freezing and windy. So it's I'm such a baby. I'm a baby. I will say it. I am a baby. I don't like
being
cold.
Right. That's all right. Man. Yeah. That's what I miss about the South. Like February, the plants, you know, when I was living in Nashville, you know, the flowers are coming up in February and I'm like, this is amazing. It's 70 in December sometimes. This is amazing. And then I moved back to Pennsylvania and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Like what?
Dude, the South.
I don't need seasons.
The South in the wintertime and the springtime is specifically gorgeous. Like I lived in Kentucky for a very small amount of time. I think it was like 6 months when I was on tour with this band and they were based there. So I was living there for a little while with them. And it was just like February and it's like 65 and it's beautiful. And you're standing outside eating barbecue. And you're just like, what is my life? Like, this is amazing.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The South is very special.
It is. It's something else.
Yeah. The Midwest though, I will say Midwest, Chicago, I will miss a lot of things about the Midwest because it's one of those places where if you're not from here, you kind of dismiss it as a flyover kind of area.
Yeah.
But dude, Chicago is so cool.
Yeah.
And there's so much you can experience in the Midwest that you don't really think about. But it's like, again, you have to be cool with the cold.
Yeah.
But
no, thank you.
Man, growing up, Chicago was like my dream. I remember telling people when I was in like high school, I was like, Chicago. I don't even know why. Like, I don't know what it was, but something about Chicago. I was like, maybe it was like Perfect Strangers or something. Larry and Balky.
It's got this very special charm because it's not like San Francisco and it's not like New York, but it's like them both.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the type of people there are just very different. And in a way that's like surprisingly good because you get the stereotypes in both, you know, both coasts, but in Chicago, it's just like a totally different subset of people and like a whole way of like doing things. That's so different. And I don't know, it's hard to explain because I haven't really spent as much time as I want to in Chicago, but like the time I have spent there, it's just like, this place is special for a very specific reason. And I'm still trying to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my girlfriend and I have talked about it. We could absolutely live in Chicago and like have a great time. Milwaukee's different because it's smaller and it's like kind of a niche area. It's hard to explain because Milwaukee is like a bigger city, but it's not. It's much, much smaller than Chicago. But Chicago is such a diverse and like varied place that you can do one of those things where you're like, oh, you drive 30 minutes and you're in like a completely different place, but you're still in Chicago. It's very cool. Yeah.
Man.
So you should still come to Chicago.
Yeah. I would love to. That's another bucket list spot just to spend some time there. You know,
the photography is great. It's a really good photography community here. There's the Creative Club.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
They have like these little meetups where they do, Creative Club Chicago, where they have a studio in Chicago. They have these meetups where you can rent it out the studio space, but it's like a collective of these photographers who own this studio, and they have these like open studio like days where you can come in and like have coffee with them. Yeah. Damn. It's Gene Yoon is one of them, and who else? It's a couple different photographers. Eric Floberg, he's one of the guys who owns it.
That's who I thought we were talking about, but I didn't want to jump the gun there. Yeah, yep. Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
And those guys are, you know, it's like a handful of photographers. They're all really talented. And they have this really great community out of there that and they're just hustling and they're just doing really great. And it's like really cool to see that you don't have to be in LA or New York to do really cool, impactful photography stuff. And so I would love to go meet up with them. I just haven't had a chance to go hang out there yet. I went and got tickets to go to one of their meetups, but then I had work and it didn't work out. But I definitely want to go hang out with those guys before I leave officially. But yeah, Chicago. Love it.
I wanted to ask you, since you mentioned that your diagnosis has kind of like gotten your creative juices flowing, do you plan on documenting this journey in any type of way, photography-wise?
So it's interesting to think about it in that way for me, because a lot of what I've seen when people do end up documenting their illnesses, it's a really therapeutic thing for them, but sometimes it ends up being really, really somber and really difficult as a third person to kind of look in and view it, because it's really hard for the person going through it. And then a lot of what you see is, really devastating imagery and like really difficult imagery as they're going through treatment or as they're getting, news and stuff. And me, I am a complete goofball and my whole life is just me laughing at everything. And if I can't laugh and like have a good time, I'm not really living. And so while being diagnosed with lung cancer sucks and like is horrifying, I don't want to document it in a way that is just like sad and bumming me out and bumming other people out. So I've actually been trying to find the humor and like the humanity in it as much as I can, because everyone who's reached out to me about it has been so sweet and so kind and so like careful. But I've been having to remind people like, look, if you can't make dark, stupid jokes about this to me, like I'm not going to have a good time. Like, so if you, like one of my really good friends here, Justin, he just pulls out all the stops and we'll be like joking about something else. And he'll be like, oh, he'll say something and I'll be like, oh, I'm too tired. And he's like, oh, well, it's probably the cancer. And I'm just like, shut up. Like, he'll just make a cancer joke. Yeah.
What, you have cancer or something?
Yeah, he'll be like, oh, you shouldn't have got cancer then. So, and it's just those stupid little moments that are so funny to me, because it's just like, yeah, cancer is scary, but it's also like, it's life. Like, people get cancer. Right. Like, it happens.
Yeah.
And so what I've been trying to do is just like find those stupid moments that remind me that like, you know, if things are bad, I can laugh and enjoy life still, then like I'm all the better for it. So I'm trying to do visual stuff, like the Sony Handycam is part of it because of the nostalgic look of it and because it can be such a fun platform. I'm leaning on that a lot. And then, do I have it here? This isn't really fun or anything, but I used to have the X-Pro 2 and I sold it when I moved to Wisconsin because I was so deep into film and I wasn't shooting digital that much. And this was kind of just like on my bookshelf, just kind of collecting dust. And I was like, okay, well, I'm moving across the country. I could use some extra money. I'll just sell it and I'll get another one. I sold it for $600. And then the X 100, was it the F or the V came out. And then TikTok went insane. And like all the Fuji camera prices went insane.
And nuts.
So, and then for the last couple of years. And so I was going to buy another one. And then they were all up into the $1,300 range overnight for years. And so I had an eBay notification through Google for so long, and the prices just haven't come down at all. And then right before I got sick, I found a guy was selling one. He sold this one for $900, and that was the cheapest I found it anywhere. And it's in pristine condition. And I jumped on it because this was the most fun, most like tactile photography experience I've ever had. Like, this is the best camera I think I've ever used, like, period, for anything.
Very nice. I will agree.
And I regretted getting rid of it so much. I have kind of big hands, and so this thing fits my hand perfectly, like no other camera. So it was just kind of like one of those things where I should not have sold it in the first place. So I got very, very lucky. I got another one, and I carry this with me everywhere. So this is like my everyday camera. And this has made it really easy to get those kind of, like, moments. Yes. You know, like at the doctor's office or like in between with my girlfriend somewhere, where it doesn't have to be like super serious. It doesn't have to be like, you know, cancer guy documenting his life, it's like it can really easily quickly get these like moments that are like really nice. And it's just nice to have that. So like that's been like my main kind of focus right now, is having this camera on me everywhere. And it's also a great conversation piece because, like, you know, these cameras look cool. When someone sees you with this camera, they're like, yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
Had a guy come up to me, he was like, is that a Leica? And I'm like, no. But and he was telling me about it. He was like, I have a Leica at home. And I was like, oh, cool, man. Like, we just talked about cameras for a minute. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
And then when you're at the hospital and you have a camera with you, everybody's like, what are you shooting? What kind of stuff do you like to shoot? And all my doctors were like, really into asking about photography now, and it's pretty fun. So
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so there's a thing I'm doing. So I might do some more. I'm doing some vlogs about my journey, about like my treatments and stuff, because there are people who are like super interested in it. So I'll do stuff like that. I just don't want to bog down my channel with like cancer stuff
right.
as much as possible. Because right. I don't want that to be my personality.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I also want to take the opportunity to like use this life experience as like a reason to flex my, I guess, documentary chops and like actually try to make something positive out of it.
Totally. And if the creative side and the creative, like the photo or the video and stuff like that, when we're going through a hard time, like that's what I want to create. Like, you know, like I just had a baby and now I'm like, I want to document them and like I've got all the ideas for projects and stuff. I feel like any big life of changing event like that, if it went the other way and like you didn't have the motivation to pick up a camera, it would make everything so much worse. So I'm glad to hear that you're like, no, I want to capture it. I'm still gonna like, I'm feeling excited about my work. And so that's just like really exciting to hear that, because if it was the other way, it's brutal.
I was scared for a second.
Yeah, I just keep sitting here thinking like, man, thankfully you are not on that side of things, because imagine like if the depression and all that stuff takes over, dude, you don't want to do shit. Like we've all been in down places, and it's really hard to pick yourself up and do something. Like I'm so thankful to hear you say these things. It's giving me inspiration.
I'm glad. Really. I mean, it's funny because like I've had times in my life where I've had lesser challenges that have made me be like, oh, I don't want to pick up a camera today because you know, whatever, I feel crap, like, oh, I don't have, you know, I'm low on money for bills, or I got in a fight with my girlfriend, or my dad and I are getting along, or something stupid, you know, that I could get over. And I just immediately, I'm just like, oh, I don't have the motivation to like create. But with this, it was kind of like, there's two ways to go about it. And this is not a judgment on people either, because people's capacity to deal with this kind of like tragic shit is like varied. And like some people can't deal like other people can. And I know that there are going to be times coming up where it's going to be even harder, because there are going to be possible treatments that I might have to go through that might be like really, really difficult. And there might be like realities I might have to face that can be really difficult. But if I roll over to that fear and roll over to that like anxiety, I'm just going to be stopping my life prematurely.
Yeah.
Just to wallow in my own like sadness. Like I can still be sad, but I can still take that sadness and like turn it into something that like is at least productive in some way. Because if I'm going to pass on at some point, you know, be it whatever it may, I don't want to leave like scared and alone. Like I want to go out having lived. And living my life has been making pictures, connecting through other people through photography, and really having fulfilling life experiences and friendships through that medium. And I don't want to stop that because I'm sick. I want that to continue. And then I want that to flourish even more. And then now that I've kind of gotten this mortality check, like that I'm like, you know, not going to live forever, I'm like even more motivated to leave behind something that I think is going to be positive and helpful for other people who are, you know, enthusiasts, or other people who want to participate in photography. And a big part of that is doing this lab with Jason. And, you know, if I can be successful in making this lab be successful and have it really be a good resource for younger photographers, new photographers, veteran photographers, that's like a legacy in a way for me, something I can do to give back that I can be proud of. And then And then I can look back at this part of my life and either be, oh, I really did take this challenge head on and did everything I could to make it positive. That's kind of all I can really do. And I would be embarrassed to do anything else. And so that's really the main motivation right now. So,
jeez,
it's really beautiful, man. Chris. Really.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know how else to think about it. It's just one of those things where it's like, I don't want people to look at me and be like, yeah, he's sad and he deserves to be sad. And that's it. Like, I don't want to be sad. I want to be optimistic and hopeful.
Right.
And, you know, like I said before, the community came together in such a way that it was like, I have to shine that light back on everybody else because it's just worth it to me. And if I can do one little thing, if I can help bring one little film lab to fruition that helps somebody, that will be enough for me. Yeah. So that's my goal.
Yay. Yeah.
So great.
Oh, man. We'll be right back with listener question for Christopher right after this message from our sponsor. Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We laugh. We also try to get a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Rich Struffolino. And they wanted to know, what is the coffee equivalent of Portra two stops overexposed? That's great.
I love that question. I love it because it makes so many assumptions about coffee and about film at the same time. So Portra two stops over, that's our classic airy,
that's the recipe.
Beautiful pastel, right? So in coffee, different varieties from different origins will have different kind of characteristics. Like a South American coffee is going to be chocolatey and more round. It's going to have more body. Ethiopian coffees, especially natural processed, will be more fruity, a little bit more colorful, I'd say. So I think there's maybe somewhere in there that's a little bit in between. I don't want to go with a blend. Let's go with a single origin. I would say that like a Kenyan.
Wow.
Like maybe a Kenyan, maybe a Bourbon or a washed Kenyan. You know, there's so many varieties from there though too. Shoot. Yeah, I'm going to go with a Kenyan because I feel like I had a good Kenyan recently. I'm going to go with it's going to be a Chemex. So it's going to be cleaner because a Chemex has a thicker filter. So you're getting a lot of those fats and oils that are going to be filtered out. It's going to be a cleaner cup. And I just feel with a Chemex, a nice Kenyan, like a nice light wash Kenyan. I love
your face right now. Such a silly answer. This is so funny.
I feel like that's going to be a really good, balanced, clean cup. You're going to get a lot of really airy, open flavors, but you're not going to get too much body. You're going to get a little bit of a lighter body because of that cleaner cup. Mm. And I think that's going to be my Portra two stops over in coffee. That's my final answer.
Okay. My mouth is like watering now.
I know. I'm like, I want some of that right now.
It does.
So good.
I looked over and I saw my Chemex and I was like, you know what? I think I have some Kenyan coffee here in the freezer. I think I might do that because it's not too late. I might do that after this. That sounds good.
Man. Well, good. I'm glad you can still drink coffee. I'm glad.
Oh, yeah, for real.
Have an issue there.
It's funny because I'm on these steroids. So to get back to the fun part. So I'm on steroids and I'm on an anti-seizure medication so I don't have anything happening to my brain in between the treatments.
Yeah.
The steroids make me feel insane and like hyped up and like very like a million miles an hour. But then the anti-seizure meds make me kind of drowsy. And so I'm like in this constant state of like, I want to take a nap. I want to run a mile. I want to take a nap. It's like very tiring. But I have been drinking coffee at a very low level because I don't want to like modulate too much. So I am drinking coffee, but like not nearly as much as I normally would. So this will be a treat because I didn't have any coffee today. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Richard, great question, Richard. That was
that was awesome.
A first on Analog
Rich,
Talk.
See, Rich is a little bit of a cheater because Rich knows me very well. He's in my Discord. He's been a Patreon subscriber for a long time and a friend for a long time. Mm. So his questions are always going to be good. So that was a little bit of a cheat, Rich. You snuck through. You shouldn't have. I'm very disappointed in you, but I love you very much.
Oh, amazing. Man. All right. So I'm interested to know if your answers have changed since the last time.
Yeah.
This is the two-part camera question segment.
Yeah.
And the first part is the desert island, like that camera you cannot live without. What's it going to be and why?
Damn it. Did I say the F2 the last time? What did I say?
I think you did. Yeah. I think it was
because
the F2.
Because that's the first thing I thought of. But it's going to be the X Pro 2.
And
I say this because as someone who's been a film guy for my entire life, I know why I would choose film for every situation that I would. And that being said, I also know why I would choose digital for every situation that I would too. The reason why X Pro 2 is my desert island camera is because I lived without it for 3 years and I fucking, excuse my language, I hated it. I hated living without it. This camera is, you know, came out in like, what, 2016 or something? It's like not new. Like, it's got older technology, but it does everything that it's supposed to do so well. It fits my workflow so well.
Yeah.
The lenses, the Fujicron lenses, like the F2 lenses, are wonderful on this thing. And just the ability for me to enjoy myself taking photographs while using this camera is unparalleled, really.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just something that I will always kind of reach for and treasure. And they really knocked it out of the park with this camera. And I really wish they wouldn't have changed it so much on the next version, the X Pro 3.
Oh.
Because this is just, to me, this is perfection. So, yeah. So, this is a sacrilege as MIP.
That's all right.
The X Pro 2. Right.
That's not a first to have a digital camera.
Yeah. So, that's that.
I love the lenses on those things.
I know. That
they're so small. You can like put them in your pocket.
And everybody says like, you know, they call them the Fujicrons because they're kind of like the Summicrons for Leica.
Yeah.
They're obviously not going to be the same because Leica lenses are insane. But they're super quick to focus. They're F2. They're really small. And, you know, I have the 23mm F2 on here. I had the 23mm F1.4, which is like a really well-known good lens for the system, but like the differences are so negligible that it's just like, why would you have the other more expensive, bigger version? Just have this one. And again, it's just so accessible. Just like boom, boom, boom. So fast, so easy.
Yep.
Yeah. Love it. But yeah, we were going to say what was part two, Timothy?
Oh, part two is the white whale. Is there, you have your eye on anything right now or?
Oh yeah.
Something you're lusting after.
Yeah.
A couple things. So the other camera that I sold when I moved that I regret is the Pentax 645N.
Oh.
That camera is a masterpiece.
Oh, yeah. That's a great camera.
It's just like when it comes to 645 cameras, that thing is just so freaking good. Everything about it is just like dialed in really great. And the lenses are fantastic. It was one of those things too where I was like, you know, I'm moving. I need the money. This camera doesn't get as much use as my RB67s. So I just got rid of it and I instantly was like, idiot. Luckily, those things have kept their value pretty normal. So like if I wanted to buy another one, I'm a little more worried about paying for medical bills right now than I am about buying cameras. So like I'm not like looking to buy cameras. But if I did have, for some reason, the budget to just go buy another camera, it would be a 645N because it's just, that system is just so good. Ever since I've owned two, it's just, there's just no reason not to own one if you don't have the opportunity. It's just, I mean, unless you hate 645, but, it's such a great camera. The only other thing I've been lusting after is the Intrepid 8x10
because
they've made, you know, new changes and they've been iterating on their cameras a lot and they just look beautiful. And they're really accessible pricing-wise. And I don't know if you guys know Your Pal Marcus on Instagram. He's a photographer who does – he actually has a YouTube channel now called Between the Bellows, I think.
I feel like I've seen his work.
Yeah, Between the Bellows YouTube channel. So I met him in San Francisco when we both lived there. He's an incredible large format photographer. He uses, I think he uses a Chamonix. No, he uses a Calumet. I don't know. He uses a rail camera of some sort, but he takes incredible 8x10 portraits.
Yeah, they are. I'm looking at them right now. So
yeah, and
so beautiful.
Every time I see his work, I'm just like, oh God, I really want to get to 8x10 because he just makes it look so fun. And so I've been looking at those Intrepid cameras. Like, again, I'm not looking to buy a camera,
but
but like, oh, it would be so nice to have like a little wooden 8x10 camera to just go out and take really beautiful portraits with. But that, again, you know, I've got my speed graphic for 4x5. It's just like a whole nother format to do. I think once I get to California, because Jason is big into 8x10, I'm going to kind of bother him to let me use his cameras.
Totally.
Because I really do want to get into doing 8x10. And since I'll be doing 8x10 processing at the lab, I'm going to need to like be a little more in touch with that process.
Got to play around a little bit.
Totally. And so, yeah, those Intrepid cameras are really cool. Maybe one day, I think maybe as a treat, once I'm done with my treatment,
I'll
treat myself to an Intrepid. But there was something else I was looking at. Oh, so
I feel like it's never ending, right?
Well, one of the things that was really funny was when my GoFundMe was starting to like really take off a little bit. One of my friends was like, "Dude, just go buy a Leica. Like, it's time. Just go grab a Leica. You can totally afford it now." I was like, "I think if people found out that I bought a Leica with my cancer money, they'd be pretty pissed."
Yeah.
But we were joking about if I was going to buy a Leica, which I fear will happen at some point.
Maybe.
It's going to be an M5.
Oh,
the M5.
Interesting. Yeah.
Just because the combination of features, the fact that it's like the ugliest one, everyone talks crap about it.
It's the ugly duckling, for sure.
The fact that you can buy one for like a decent price.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think they look great. And if I were to get into trying out being a Leica boy, that just seems like the logical step for me. Because I'm not going to buy an M6. Like, I'm not an M6 guy. I looked at the M2 and the M3, and like those are also very cool. But like the M5 is like quirky and off step enough to be appealing to me. And it's also one of those things where it's like if I beat it up, which I will, it's not going to like bum me out.
Yeah.
That being said, I am not using my cancer money to buy a Leica. I promise it's not going to happen.
Or an 8x10.
Or an 8x10.
Or a Pentax.
To be fair, all of that money has already been sucked up by the hospital. It's already been spoken for. So, God, the M10. Is it Rafa? Rafael, doesn't he have the M10 or the L11? Dude, he let me shoot it, and I'm so mad at him because I was like, why would you let me touch this camera?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I feel that.
And it's because if I hadn't shot it, I could still be like, you know, that camera's
naive.
Ridiculous. You don't need it.
Yeah.
But now that I've touched it and shot it, I'm just like, it's gorgeous. I can't even be mad.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so stupid.
I know.
Never buying that.
Well, those are great things to shoot for, you know, once everything gets all cleared up and we're back in the norm again.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely treat yourself. Yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Christopher, this has been so wonderful to have you back on. We're so, like I said before, we're all here rooting for you. We're behind you 100%. Positive outlook on this has been inspiring for me. I'm sure for everybody else who's listening too. So
we're just
rooting for you. Like I said, where can everybody check out plug the channel, the Instagram, whatever you want to share?
Yeah. Well, it's the photo department, the photo DEPT on YouTube. I will be posting vlogs on my upcoming treatment stuff. That's going to be like, you know, very visually based, a lot of like photography and a lot of like video stuff around that. That will be, I promise, not depressing. My Instagram is cmsturm on Instagram, cmsturm. You can find more updates there. I'll be updating more in the coming weeks. Just I haven't been doing it lately because things have been crazy. But now the treatments are on the way, I can start being proactive again. My GoFundMe is in my Instagram and all over my everything. So the biggest help that anyone can do is just share it or talk about it. everyone, like I said, has been so great helping out, but I'm going to need so much more support in that way. It's so expensive just to even, I think my tally is somewhere near 85K right now, as far as what I need, as far as treatment so far. So I still have a ways to go. So any support in that way is obviously incredibly helpful. Also, please make sure you are checking out Volandis and supporting him as well, because he's going through something very similar. And my heart goes out to him. I'm hoping that he's getting all the support he needs as well. So sharing those GoFundMes for both of us would be really helpful for anybody who can. All of the comments on my YouTube channel, all of the reaching out and the DMs and the emails I've been getting have been so wonderful, so encouraging. And, you know, just saying hello and, you know, that's been really incredible for me. So, like, thank you to everybody who's done that. And, if you want to hang out with me, I will be in LA in a couple months. Hopefully be doing better and be working and enjoying the weather. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Christopher, thank you again.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad I got to be on here again with you guys. Got to share some fun news and share some laughs. This has been the best.
Fantastic. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye. First off, Chris and I would love to thank Christopher for coming on this show. Thanks so much, man. Thanks for taking the time to come hang out with us. You know, give us an update on everything and how you're doing. It's really inspiring just seeing how you're handling this whole situation. And, you know, again, thanks so much for sharing that and sharing your story and your positivity and just, I mean, dude, You're amazing. We love you. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk for only $1. You can get the show 2 days early. We also have our development hang over there. It's a Patreon exclusive with a bunch of other stuff in the archive. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. And for all the Patreons that help support the show already, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. We appreciate each and every single one of you. Again, I'll leave Christopher's links at the beginning and at the bottom and all over the show note info. If you can share his GoFundMe or if you can donate a little bit, you know, a little bit goes a long way. Chris, we're rooting for you. Again, thanks for coming on the show. And until next week, we'll see you with an all new episode. All right. Thanks, guys. Later.